we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to The Core here on American Family Radio. It's Walker Wildman here with you, and it's good to be with you on this brand new edition of the program. And it is the 16th of December, and we are 9 days away from Christmas, celebrating the birth of our Savior Jesus. And speaking of that, we're going to turn our attention to Psalm chapter 141. O Lord, I call upon you, hasten to me. Give ear to my voice when I call to you. May my prayer be counted as incense before you, the lifting up of my hands as the evening offering. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to an evil thing, to practice deeds of wickedness with men who do iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacies. Let the righteous spite me in kindness and reprove me. It is oil upon the head. Do not let my head refuse it. For still my prayer is against the wicked deeds, against their wicked deeds. That's Psalm 141, verses 1 through 5. That's our scripture for today. Turning our attention to a few other things, the Activate Summit, we've been talking about it for a couple weeks now, and we're excited to have our first ever Activate Summit, and that's in June of this upcoming year, June 12th through the 14th are those dates. And we'd love for you to join us. This is a family affair, and children of all ages are welcome. We have a special kids program, ages 6 to 12, that's who that's for. If the child is 13 or over, well, they're going to be able to sit in the main session, and the content in there is going to be perfectly appropriate for teenagers and young adults. And then ages 1 to 5, well, they're going to stay with their parents. Ages 1 to 5 are going to stay with their parents. 6 to 12, we have a kids track for ages 6 to 12. And then, of course, as I mentioned, 13 and older can be in the main session as well. So we would love for the whole family to come. If the child is 5 or under, they're going to be able to come free, all right? So if your child's 5 or under, they're going to be able to come free. That's includes the vast majority of my children, although by this time my twins will be 6. But let's see, $75 for adults. That includes 13 and up, so teens and adults, $75. $50 for ages 6 to 12, and free for children 5 and under. So $75 for teens 13 plus, that includes adults, $75. $50 for kids 6 to 12, and free for children 5 and under. That's our Activate Summit coming up June 12th through the 14th of 2025. activate.afa.net. You can register. We do have a 20% discount ongoing until the end of the month. So up until January 1, we have a 20% discount. I think the discount code's EARLYBIRD20. EARLYBIRD20 is that discount code. You can call us at our office here, and we'll be glad to give you that discount code over the phone. EARLYBIRD20 will get you 20% off between now and January 1, and then the pricing will go back to regular without the discount code. So if you want 20% off, now's the time to do it. And 20% off may not seem like much, but you add in, you know, you and your spouse plus a couple of kids, that adds up pretty quick. So 20% is pretty good for the time being. So go over to activate.afa.net. Our theme for this first ever Activate Summit is Biblical Bedrock, Building on the Authority of Scripture. And I talk about this often, I try to, but what do we have if we don't have the authority of Scripture? What truth do we have if we don't have God's Word? And that's what we cannot forget, is that without the Bible, without the inherent Word of God, we're left in the dark, Literally, we're left in the dark without sight, without vision, without understanding. But thankful to God, we are given His Word. We are given instruction. We are given the inherent, infallible, perfect Word of God. And so we have direction. We have clarity. God's given us access to His much of His knowledge and His insight. And that's what we get through the Bible. So that's going to be our bedrock. That's going to be our basis for the Activate Summit 2025, activate.afa.net. Another thing I want to mention is this wonderful film that just came out over the last month or so, and it's Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency. And we have the full kit available over at culturewarrior.movie. So if you want to donate this month and receive the entire Culture Warrior kit, includes the DVD set, we'll send that to you just as soon as you donate over at culturewarrior.movie. But we do have the trailer, and we want as many people as possible to go over and watch the full film over at culturewarrior.movie. But for the time being, let me give you a glimpse into the Culture Warrior trailer. Let's listen.
Christmas season of 1976. I sat down one night to watch television.
As we started looking for something to watch, every channel had something inappropriate on it.
There was nothing good.
I became angry that night. I left the parish ministry and founded the National Federation for Decency.
And I remember people going, "You're going to do what now, exactly?"
Reverend Wildman.
Reverend Wildman.
The Reverend Donald Wildman.
Reverend Wildman says the show is too sexually suggestive.
We monitored television to see who was sponsoring the offensive shows.
It was totally covered from the networks to the advertisers.
Well, at first they wanted to ignore it, but then after a while they couldn't.
NBC said the boycott is an obvious attempt at intimidation, and we will let the people judge the fairness of this tactic.
I'd like to know what right you think you have to tell me what to watch on TV.
Send that question to the network, okay?
He used to say, "Well, let everybody think I'm dumb." Said, "That's to my advantage."
You know who sells more pornography than anybody else in America? 7-Eleven, your friendly family convenience store.
He stepped on a whole lot of toes early on, and they thought, I think, that they could just crush him.
Don told me that, "Ben, I've been sued by Penthouse and by Playboy."
Things were changing, and many people just sort of acclimated to it, and Don Wildman didn't.
The Last Temptation of Christ.
It was going to be a blasphemous movie about the life of Jesus.
We're not talking about the specifics. We're talking about the general theme.
What you did with Brother Don as the leader, you got on and hung on as best you could.
AVA is funded in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts.
So it was just vile stuff that was being funded by the government.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
He was going to be faithful and leave the success up to God.
He's had an uncanny ability to look down the road and see the impact of things that are happening today.
I'm not trying to be a prophet of doom. I'm trying to be honest with you.
When you see people live out their faith, you know there's something to it.
One person can make a difference.
Go to culturewarrior.movie to check out that full trailer and the full film, culturewarrior.movie. And while you're there, if you'll donate, we'll send you the Culture Warrior kit with a DVD, bookmark, and much, much more there at culturewarrior.movie, including my grandfather's book, I Had a Vision, God Had a Plan. culturewarrior.movie is that URL. Well, I talked last week about the mysterious drone sightings out of New Jersey, and boy, it's just been baffling. The Biden administration, they've even got Democrats mad at them. I mean, I've never seen so much, you know, unity behind the criticism of the Biden administration. I mean, everything Biden's team does, they just drop the ball. These are some of the most incompetent people I've ever seen in my life, and that's not an exaggeration. This is horrendous. Even New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy is criticizing the Biden administration. Virtually all the mayors and local lawmakers, even some of the congressmen, are absolutely furious. And these are all Democrats, by the way, for the most part. They're furious because Biden's administration will not read them in on what on earth is going on with these dozens, if not hundreds, of drone sightings. It's hundreds of sightings, but dozens or hundreds of drones that are being flown around New Jersey and New York State. It's just absolutely mind-boggling. And the government claims that they have no idea what's going on, but everybody is completely safe. Now, make that make sense. We don't know what's going on. We have no idea what these drones are, but everybody's completely safe, and you have no reason to worry. You can't have it both ways. Either you don't know what's going on, or you do know what's going on, but you can't have it both ways. President Trump commented on this just this morning. President Trump just did like a 1 to 2 hour press conference taking questions on all subject matters. But let's listen to President Trump talking about these New Jersey drone sightings. Clip two.
Comment on the drones that are flying around New Jersey ports. It seems like the American people have a big disconnect.
The government knows what is happening. Look, our military knows where they took off from. If it's a garage, they can go right into that garage. They know where it came from and where it went. And for some reason, they don't want to comment. And I think they'd be better off saying what it is. Our military knows and our president knows. And for some reason, they want to keep people in suspense. I can't imagine it's the enemy, because if it was the enemy, they'd blast it out. Even if they were late, they'd blast it. Something strange is going on. For some reason, they don't want to tell the people. And they should, because the people are really, I mean, they happen to be over Bedminster. They're very close to Bedminster. I think maybe I won't spend the weekend in Bedminster. I've decided to cancel my trip.
Well, President Trump there is answering the question about the drones. He claims that our government knows what's going on, and that may be true. But I will say, I think our capabilities are far overestimated. I mean, I really don't think we have as much capabilities as we think we do. Now, maybe in war zones overseas, we've deployed, you know, different anti-drone technologies. But domestically, I just don't know that we're up to par on this. I don't think we are, personally. The stuff I've read, I just don't think we have anti-drone detection and takeout capabilities over our soil. And I'm not talking F-15, folks. That's so old school. We talked about this last week. To think that we can fly F-15s around and shoot these 4x4 drones out of the sky. Who wants missiles flying over their head to take out a 3-foot drone? Nobody. That's a terrible strategy. That is a loser strategy, especially when you're mentioning dozens or hundreds of drones. Like, do we really want to be firing missiles over American soil to take out little drones? I don't think so. That's a terrible strategy. So if we can't take them out with our airplanes, then how do we take them out? How do we take these things out of the sky? And I think we're behind on this. I think we're very much behind on this technology. Now, the detection technology we probably have. Now, how advanced it is, I'm not really sure. But it's frustrating that we've got 50, 100, 200, nobody really knows the exact number, but there's been hundreds of reports, okay? And there are multiple law enforcement officers who under the color of law, have sworn to seeing swarms of 50 of these drones in New Jersey. So is it our government? Probably. It probably is our government, but I don't know why they're acting like it's this top secret thing. Like, just tell us. You don't have to tell us details, but just tell us that you're running exercises. And there's various theories about what these drones are doing. Some say that they're built to detect radiation from nuclear weapons, dirty bombs. I don't know. I have no idea what's going on. But I think it's a shame that we have such incompetent people at the highest levels of government that they can tell us 100% that everybody's safe. And then the next sentence, they tell us they have no idea what's going on. You can't have it both ways.
At the Core Podcast are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to The Core. You know, one benefit amongst a plethora of a incoming Trump administration is that we can stop acting like we're all children and stop clouding everything in secrecy and incompetency. Just tell us what's going on. I mean, this whole UFO saga for the last, 70 years it's just patently absurd. And it's kind of annoying. I mean, at this point, I don't even want to talk about UFOs anymore. Just tell us that the U.S. government has been working on for 70 years advanced aerial technology, and we don't want other countries to know about it. And that's all we're going to tell you. And you don't have to give me classified documents or, all this other garbage. We just need to be treated like adults. The same thing with these drones up in New Jersey. These aren't UFOs. They're not aliens. Let's don't kid ourselves. Let's don't waste our time. This is probably either a private government contractor or the government itself testing technology over New Jersey, because there's multiple military sites up there, and they just need to tell us that. Just say we're running tests. End of story. There's nothing else to talk about. If you're in the government and you have the right clearances, we'll brief you on it. But otherwise, we're doing military stuff in New Jersey. So that's all there is to know about it. But we don't have to turn everything into this, conspiratorial, mystery, and everybody's got to run with their theories. It's just this whole way of operating is so old. It's so, outdated, and it's so boring, and it makes me want to fall asleep. And it's infuriating because these are our tax dollars. These are our tax dollars, and these are supposed to be our leaders that we elect, and our elected leaders then hire these people to run the government. And to go at the podium of the Pentagon and tell us that you have no idea what's going on, it's not military drones, but everybody's 100% safe, is just, it's laughable. I mean, it's absolutely laughable and infuriating that you think we're so dumb and naive that you can tell us, on one hand, in the same sentence, while it might be a run-on sentence, that everything's completely fine, but you have no idea what's going on. I mean, it's completely a joke, and these people ought to be fired on day one when Trump gets in there. I'm so tired of incompetence, and everybody else in this country should be as well. Speaking of incompetence, the Biden administration has been going after pro-lifers for the last 4 years now, going on 4 years, and including trying to lock as many of them up as possible. And we have one on with us now that they tried to lock up. Mark Hoke's with us now. He's a sidewalk counselor. He was raided by the FBI in September of 2022. And he's an evangelist and a motivational pro-life speaker now. But Mark's with us now. His story went viral. Hey, Mark, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me, Walker. Great to be with you.
Well, Mark, I don't want to spend too much time on how on earth we got here, because I want to know what you're up to now. But give us a little background here about your story and what led to the FBI raiding your home in September of 2022.
Sure. Well, I would say that, we were doing this work long before the Biden regime took over. 20 plus years of sidewalk counseling and activism, peaceful activism, just 40 days for life type vigils. Every week I'm at Planned Parenthood in Philadelphia. And back in 2021, there was an altercation there, just to get people caught up, between an escort who was volunteering for Planned Parenthood and myself. He was basically harassing my son, my 12-year-old son, who had been coming with me for about 30 or 40 vigils at that point. And I just told him to stop. He wouldn't stop. Eventually, there was a bit of an altercation. I had to kind of remove the guy from my son's personal space. And that was it. It was really nothing more than that. It was all handled at the local level. In fact, the Philadelphia PD, Larry Krasner, who's the DA in Philadelphia, rabid pro-abortionist, he didn't want anything to do with it. Everything was resolved April 22 of 2022. But 5 days later, when I was allowed to return to the sidewalk, a federal agent was there to greet me with a target letter. So the target letter told me I was a target of a federal grand jury investigation. Now, this is about a week or two before the Dobbs case is going to leak. So that you know that the Biden administration is already aware of what's going to happen with the Supreme Court. Dobbs leaks early May, and then June 24th, the Dobbs case overturns Roe. And at that point, all these pro-lifers, Mar-a-Lago happens, start getting picked up. And I'm just kind of sitting in the wings waiting for, you know, something to happen, but really not really expecting. Thomas More Society, the great, you know, watchdog for us Christians and pro-life people, are representing me. They're basically saying they got no case. So when they stormed on my doorstep on September 22nd, as you alluded to, Walker, I was not expecting it. It was 6:30 in the morning. My kids were all asleep, seven of my children and my wife asleep. And I happened to be up, thanks be to God, or else they would have come barging into my door. But that's what they came with: heavily armored vests, ballistic helmets, ballistic shields, M16 guns, about 20 plus federal agents, PA state troopers and the like. All fully armored and two battering rams ready to go.
So, Mark, you're telling me that you interacted with a federal agent on the sidewalk in Philadelphia, and then instead of doing whatever they got to do there, they wait and come to your house and bring 20 agents. I mean, this is KGB level stuff. But that's what happened, right?
Yeah, it's jackboot style for sure. I mean, look, we told them we'd come in peacefully if they wanted to indict us. That's what our attorneys, we were in full communication with them. He's a peaceful man. You know, you served him on the sidewalk. If you want to pick him up, just pick him up on the sidewalk. You know, right. You don't have to come to his house. But of course, they chose not to do that. And they wanted to terrorize and bring tyranny to pro-life people and to my children. And to this day, 2+ years removed, facing 11 years in prison after we were acquitted, we're still suffering those consequences of that fateful day whereby we all have PTSD and major trauma in our lives, you know, that you really can't process because your brain kind of compartmentalizes that in a way that, you know, it just kind of rears its head every time you see a siren, every time you see something or an unannounced guest is on your property, you go into panic attacks.
Mark, I want to ask you about your thoughts on the FBI. I mean, these were the guys that were hunting you down and the FBI was being weaponized by Biden's crew and Merrick Garland and Christopher Wray. What's your opinion on these rank and file agents? Because I mean, I got a problem with the fact that they carry this garbage out. I mean, I don't want to throw them all under the bus, but how come Biden can find 20 federal and state agents to come knock on your door? Like, where are the guys that are like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, this is not right. We're not doing this. We got bigger fish to fry here.
Yeah, good, great question. Look, we're suing the government right now, and we're in the midst of a hopeful discovery whereby we can interview these men. But to answer your question, from what I understand from the FBI over the last few years, they've been accepting applicants for the FBI that are not going to question such orders, are not going to like do what Kyle Serafin did and whistleblow something like this. So frankly, you know, I don't know the type of man that it is. I can tell you that the men that were on my doorstep cowered very much when they were there. Mm-hmm. They looked very much ashamed of themselves. And when we drove to the federal building, the guy from St. Louis who was driving me there, he came up to me and he said, it was a real pleasure meeting you. So I guess these guys are thinking one thing and then they're being duped. Now I'm assuming they're briefed to a degree.
Yeah.
Not everyone knows everything. But, you know, they're kind of, this is what the FBI does, Walker. They say, look, if you want to get elevated to a full agent, you got to go on a certain number of raids. So these guys are kind of forced to go on raids that maybe they would question, but they want to get their agent status. And, you know, I think they pressure them to do it. So we'll find more, though, as this lawsuit unfolds.
Well, and we do know 100% that Biden told Merrick Garland to create an entire task force that was aimed at hunting pro-lifers down. I mean, that was a fact. That was a public task force. And all these guys did was find out how many pro-lifers they could lock up, they could charge and lock up. So that was one of Biden's big things that he bragged about, was that he had an entire task force. I forgot what he called it, something reproductive rights, but it's always misleading. But they were basically aimed at targeting pro-lifers, including yourself, which explains why the fact that all the local officials had settled this. I interviewed a similar case, Coleman Boyd, last week. Very similar stuff going on, FACE Act involved, and all the local Nashville PD, prosecutor, DA, everybody dropped it, moved on, no big deal, and then all of a sudden the FBI and DOJ bring this stuff back up. But that's because they were tasked with it. They had to come up with some kind of, you know, proof of their work. Let me ask you this. What are you expecting? I know you're obviously, you weren't found, you were exonerated. You were acquitted in January of last year, January of last year. But what kind of message do you send to the incoming Trump administration on some of the immediate remedies they should be seeking the first day in office?
Yeah. Well, look, he's already said he's going to pardon the convicted pro-life people that are behind bars, and I hope he does do that. So I expect that to happen. I know he's interested in the J6 people, looking at those folks too, and pardoning who he can. So I expect that. I expect Kash Patel to change the direction of the FBI, and I expect Pam Bondi, if they're both confirmed, to do the same. Now, here's what's going to happen. They're going to get the docket of the list of, you know, what's outstanding at the AG's office for the country. In other words, what cases they're pursuing and what they're not. And they're going to see my case. And that's a case that's, you know, for the American people and holding the government accountable for their actions. I don't think Pam Bondi Director Patel, if he gets in, will want to pursue that. And they got to defend the Biden's actions. I don't think that's something they would do. So I expect settlements will be coming forward with people who are suing. President Trump himself just got a nice settlement with defamation with Stephanopoulos and all that. But, you know, these things are probably going to all get rectified, I think. And I think, you know, with the new the director of civil affairs in the DOJ, no longer Kristen Clark, but with the new appointee there, I think, you know, we're not going to see pro-life people being targeted anymore. And so that's what I expect. And I expect for 2 years, we're going to have a great facelift to all this. Hopefully the FACE Act would be my hope to be repealed within time. And we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I think we need more than a settlement. I think a settlement's a step in the right direction. I think the FBI needs to write a formal apology letter to you signed by the director. And I think that should happen with everybody who is charged with the FACE Act. Also, I think that everybody who touched your case should be terminated immediately. Anybody who signed their name onto warrants, anybody who participated in this garbage ought to be terminated on day one. Anybody who endorsed it should be terminated on day one. I just think they need a clean house. And the good thing, Mark, about the way and how brazen the Biden crew has been is their names and signatures are on all this stuff. So we know which agents and which DOJ officials were 100% on board with going after pro-lifers because they were the ones signing all the documents. So it's not going to be hard to figure out whose team they're on when Trump's team takes over. Well, Mark, appreciate your courage and congratulations on being exonerated with the jury. I know you're still trying to seek some remedy, but thanks so much for coming on. And last word.
Yeah, thanks so much for all you do, and great respect for AFA. And look, we just got to stay the course as pro-life people. Obviously, continue to do what we do. Be not afraid, right? Just continue to do what Don did, and just exposing the lies for what they are, and stand up for what's right. You know, we're on the side of right. Whether we're, you know, I got to say this in closing. Even if I went to prison, I knew I was on the side of right. I knew God would bring good out of it, even if I went to prison. So for those that are in prison, you know, I know they surrender that and they say, you know, God's will be done. And I was blessed to not have to do that. But you know, this, for such a time as this, we're called, right? It's right out of the good book. And we know that we may experience a lot of persecution, but blessed are those who are, right? So stay the course. Thanks for all you do, and thanks for having me today.
Hey, thanks so much, Mark. Appreciate you coming on the program and telling your story. Mark Hook, he's One of the pro-life activists that was targeted by the Biden FBI, the Biden DOJ, and similar MO here, you notice that these cases were not even taken up really at all or much at all by local officials, but Biden's Department of Justice, we've got all this stuff going on, all this criminality going on around our country. We've got mass illegal immigration. We've got illegal immigrants raping and pillaging our cities. We've got the drug cartels running the streets. We've got Venezuelan gangs running our streets. We've got murder rate at historic highs, despite what the FBI says, by the way, because they lied. They misrepresented their numbers on the crime data, on the violent crime data, because they excluded major cities because the cities weren't reporting the data because the data doesn't look good. So they lied about all that. They lied about that on the Trump debates as well. They tried to fact check Trump and say, we're the safest we've ever been. No, we're not. Y'all just are excluding data on the violent crime statistics that the FBI is supposed to be putting together. They got one job. Put the crime stats together. Can't even get it right. And but back to my point. We've got all this crime, violence, pillaging of our country, selling it down the river. And the FBI's got enough time to go after pro-lifers, peaceful pro-lifers. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. You talk about having your priorities completely out of order. We can't figure out who's flying the drones over New Jersey, but we can figure out where Mark Hoke lives and go arrest him and embarrass his entire family. Give me a break.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net and sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome back to The Core here on American Family Radio. We have a guest with us now here on the program. Senator Matt Brass is with us. He's a state senator out of Georgia, and he serves Senate District 28. He's been in office since 2016. He was elected in November of 2016, of course, sworn in 2017. But Senator Brass is with us now. Senator, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Walker. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, Senator Brass, the one thing that Georgia made headlines about following the 2020 election was some election integrity reforms that you guys worked on in the legislature, signed by the governor, that really aimed at addressing some of the ills and some of the frustrations surrounding the 2020 election. And of course, things seem to go pretty smooth in Georgia for this 2024 cycle. Tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of bring us up to speed on some of the election integrity issues you guys have addressed thus far.
Sure, Walker. So, again, Matt Brass, I'm from Noonan, Georgia. We're about 40 miles south of the capital here in Atlanta. And I do represent mostly rural area with the exception of my hometown, but everything outside of that, for the most part, I would consider small towns and rural areas. So very conservative district, as am I. So I try to represent my district well. And, you know, when 2020 was tough, it was a very tough year to be a legislator. And, you know, we were coming out of the pandemic. We got, you know, literally Rome is burning. And then we go into an election cycle that did not go well for those of us that were for Donald Trump and for conservative values. And so when we saw those results, it just something seemed off. And, you know, and every time we'd ask a question about it, we felt like we were getting shut down. We felt like you know, we were being called, you know, well, it turned into being called an insurrectionist. And to this day, if you bring up 2020 election, I mean, that's what the other side wants to go back to is January 6th. And so coming out of that election cycle, we saw a lot of problems. And one of the biggest problems we saw was, you know, that the Secretary of State decided to send out mass ballots, mass mail-in ballots. And so we came up with Senate Bill 202. Senate Bill 202 was one of the largest election reform bills that we had ever done in this state. And in 202, we first off, we said Secretary of State can no longer send out mass mail-in ballots like that. There was too much confusion. The second thing we did, we saw we had problems with the drop boxes. The drop boxes were not in code. There was some question as to whether they were legal at all. And so what we did was, you know, the existing law at the time, it said that the if you were going to drop off a mail-in ballot, you had to hand deliver it to the election supervisor. And you couldn't just randomly, you know, pop in and drop it in a box somewhere because it's just not transparent. There can be fraud there. So with 202, we said, okay, if you want to have the box, that's fine, but it has to be inside and it has to have a camera on it, or it has to be viewed by election supervisor at all times. And so those are two of the biggest things we did as far as just transparency in our state. You know, there's going to be a push for paper ballots. We've tried that, didn't work. But yeah, SB 202 was a big deal, and it was so interesting, the debate during 202. One thing we saw back in 18, when it was Governor Kemp versus Stacey Abrams, they were accusing our election devices of fraud. The Democrats were, and it was amazing. And so I actually went back. I had an intern go back and pull the transcripts from that debate. And in 2020 or 21, when we're doing SB 202, I went down and read a speech that a Democrat gave, and I didn't tell anybody that it was her speech. And I read it, and it talked about people not trusting the election, and it talked about the devices were flipping votes. And, you know, and as I'm reading this speech, you could hear the Democrats gasping for air. Oh, I can't believe he's saying this. They're saying this on the Senate floor. I could overhear him as I'm giving this speech. And I got to the end of it, and I said, look, y'all, I can go give that speech anywhere in my district and get a standing ovation.
Yeah.
But I can't claim that speech because I didn't say it. I said the Democrat from the 42nd, who's Senator Elena Parent, or at least it was at that point, she gave that exact same speech back in after the 2018 election. And so, and here we were saying the exact same things they were saying. And so we had both sides that saw fraud and thought there was fraud. And so for us to come back with SB 202, you know, the governor came up with a great tagline: we're going to make it easy to vote and harder to cheat. And I think we did that. I think we accomplished exactly what we were trying to do. We wanted as much transparency around the election as possible. It's one of the most important fundamentals we have in this country. And, you know, for people to question that and to have concerns over that is really an injustice to everybody. So we think we took a good stab at it there. We came back again last year, did a few more little cleanup bills. And all in all, I think we got it right.
You know, Senator Brass, once again, we're talking to Senator Matt Brass out of the state of Georgia. That's interesting. I love that you read the speech of your Democrat colleague, and then at the end of the speech revealed that it was not your speech, it was somebody else's. But you would think election integrity is a bipartisan issue, and probably it is when you actually poll people. But as far as the parties go, I mean, the Democrats have totally politicized what should be a really a non-political issue, and that is the fact that we need to have safe, secure, and accurate elections. But because if you think your ideas are better than the other side's, then you want the elections to be fair and square because you think you're going to win. But do you think? Let me ask you this: do you think that this is really a partisan issue, or do you think just the top levels of the Democrat Party have politicized this?
You know, I think it is a bipartisan issue. After 21, after the 2020 election, our now Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones, he and I and a couple of Democrats introduced a paper ballot measure, one that they had tried to introduce after the 2018 governor's race. And so, so it is bipartisan. There's still both sides. Would still like to go back to paper ballots. You know, it's, and I'll be honest, I kind of go back and forth on it myself. I feel like if we can ensure that the machines are secure and they're not being tampered with, if we can keep the process transparent, then I'm okay with where we're at. But, you know, and another thing, we actually have paper ballots in Georgia. It's just, you know, when we first, the first machine we go to and cast our votes, it prints out a paper ballot. And then it's the next machine that we insert it in. And I think at that point is where people start to lose that trust.
Those are the tabulators.
That machine is.
Right.
That's correct. And they're reading a barcode. They're not reading the words. And so, one thing our state election board tried to do this year was make sure we're going to have them count. The state election board wanted the poll workers to go back and count the tabulator, the paper ballots, to make sure they match the counts of the tabulators. But that ended up in court and ended up with the state. Let me ask you this,
since this is kind of your topic that you've been, you know, focusing in on the last several years, we're talking with Senator Matt Brass out of Georgia, talking about election integrity issues and multiple pieces of legislation he's worked on. Let's talk, we got about 5 or 6 minutes left, but paper ballots, because I'm a fan of paper ballots broadly. I haven't gotten into the weeds of actually how all the ins and outs of how it works and things like that and some of the downsides. But is the main argument against it like an efficiency thing? What are some of the hurdles that you run into when you start going down the paper ballot trail?
There's a number, and it depends on which side of the issue you're on. You know, if you're for paper ballots, you might find one or two problems with it. If you're against it, you might find 1,000. So it just kind of depends on which side. But efficiency is one. Voter intent is another. You know, when people are checking a box versus coloring it in, and you know, you might end up with a stray mark on there, and so voter intent could be a real issue. You know, you go back to when it was Bush and
Gore.
Gore. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's what I meant. You know, the hanging chad. I mean, it's all about voter intent, and you want to make sure that, you know, did they intend to vote for the candidate of their choice? And that's probably one of the biggest concerns around paper ballot. Like I said, with the way we have it now, and I talked with many folks know Garland Favorito. I met with him, and he's actually a constituent. We were meeting in my office last year, and I said, Garland, you know, we have paper ballots. He said, well, no, we don't. I said, yes, sir, we do. You know, when you go to the ballot marking device, that's all it does is it's marking the ballot however you want it marked. And it's not counted until you put it into the tabulator. And I said, so that paper ballot is there. The voter intent is there because the machine marks it clearly. And so I think probably some sort of hybrid of what we have and paper ballots would be a good step. And I mean, like I said, I go back to 2020 and Trump actually in Georgia, Trump beat Biden handedly on the machines. And it was on the on the mail-in ballots is where he got destroyed. And you know, and it's hard to have that conversation sometimes with folks, but it's the honest truth.
Yeah, it is. And the Mark Zuckerberg, you know, millions he put into ballot harvesting, I think that's what put Biden over the edge. Now, I don't know if all of those votes were legal. You know, I have no idea. But
well, the problem is we'll never know.
Right. But that's true, because it wasn't. I mean, how do you investigate something that broad? But the fact that the turnout was insane in 2020. And I think that's where everybody's skeptical. They're like, 81 million votes. Are you kidding me? But when you look at the mass get out the vote operation that the Democrats had going, I mean, they had hundreds of millions of dollars sunk into simply getting ballots delivered to drop boxes. So when you factor in all the private money that went into it, it's really not surprising that they got that many Democrats out to vote or got that many ballots filled out. But nonetheless, I appreciate your work.
Well, here's the $1 million.
Yeah, go ahead,
Walker. Here's the $1 million question. Not to interrupt you, I apologize, but 17 million people that voted in 2020 didn't vote this time around.
Where did they go? Right. Yeah, I know. And that's my answer to that is, yes, there's fraud. There's been proven fraud. But when you have people coming to your doorstep saying, hey, you know, I'm here to help you vote. You don't like Trump, do you? Right. And they fill out your ballot for you, and then you sign the bottom, or they sign the bottom. We don't really know. When you have that level of like concierge service on the anti-Trump vote, maybe not 17 million, but you can get a lot of million. You can get several million people to raise their hand and say, "Yeah, I don't like Trump either." Which is basically when you rush people's doorstep at their house, and you basically feed them, you know, the anti-Trump talking points. That doesn't surprise me the least bit. But I appreciate your work, Senator Brass, in Georgia. This is a really big topic. It crosses party lines. It affects all the voters. So Georgia's on the right path, and has been on the right path for several years now. So I appreciate your work, and thank you so much for coming on the program.
Thank you, Walker. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. That's Senator Matt Brass. He serves District 28 there in the state of Georgia, which is part of Douglas and Fulton County. Coweta County and Heard County as well, in the state of Georgia. He was elected in 16, sworn in 17, and has been there serving ever since, and has really, really put a lot of time and effort into election integrity issues in the state of Georgia over the last 4 to 5 years. So we appreciate Senator Matt Brass coming on. You know, this topic, I mentioned this like the day after the election, but we cannot forget about this issue. Now, that's why we had the senator on, because making sure that our elections are on the up and up is a topic that we need to stay on top of. We need to stay focused in on, because we do not need to turn around as a nation in 4 years from now and have another 2020 fiasco. That is the last thing we need, is another 2020 disaster of an election. So the only way to do that is to keep this topic on the forefront and have states continue to move the needle on ensuring that our elections are safe, secure, and efficient. We'll see you next time. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That is why we have partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears the heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies, and that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.